مزيدا. أما بعد, quick recap inshallah, how many points have we taken? Huh? Six. Seven. Sheikh Mukmin, how many points have we taken?
Six.
Six. The one that write down, then he has the hujjah, he has the proof of the one that doesn't write down. So it's six. Sure? What are the ones that we took yesterday? What are the points that we took yesterday? The points that we took yesterday.
Yesterday alone or we took?
No, just yesterday what we took. Mention, doesn't have to be in order. Anyone? No, you've gone back to number one. Okay, go on, I'll run it through then, go on. Number one, alright, mashallah. Okay.
But remember, it's Allah who caused it to happen. And as such, there's a reason for it, which goes back to yourself because of what you might have done. So you know, you're supposed to check yourself and ask to check yourself. When you check yourself, you realize that nothing comes to you, no harm comes to you, so you be responsible. And in order for it to come off of you, you have to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody has kind of looked at
it. Okay, mashallah. Anything else? That's good. I mean, he went back to number one, but just mention something of yesterday. Anything of yesterday? Anyone remember? This is why you gotta write down notes. Because if you write down notes and you forget, then at least you have your notes in front of you. All right then, inshallah, we'll go straight into today's dars. Because obviously, time is ticking. So today, inshallah, we're going to start on point seven. Number seven. So we've done six. We're going to... And for me, all of them are tremendous points. But especially this point really, really did make me reflect. This point here. This point, which is number seven. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimullah, the author of this book, he said, إِذَا اشْتَغَلْتْ نَفْسُهُ بِالْإِلْتِقَامِ أَيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِذَا اشْتَغَلْتْ نَفْسُهُ بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ وَطَلَبَ الْمُقَابَلَةِ أَضَاعَ عَلَيْهِ زَمَانَهُ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ قَلْبُهُ. He said that one should know that if he spends his time seeking revenge, valuable time will be lost and his heart will be torn. وَفَاتَتُهُ مِنْ مَصَالِحِهِ مَا لَا يُمْكِنْ إِسْتِدْرَاكُهُ وَلَعَلَّ هَذَا أَعْظَمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ مُصِيبَتُهُ أَلَّتِي نَالَتْهُ مِنْ جِهَتِهِمْ. Tremendous words. He said, if he focuses just on taking revenge, he's going to lose a lot of time. And his heart won't be settled, it will be torn. And then he would lose much benefits. You mean that in the time that he has lost much benefits. And perhaps this, meaning the losing of time, is even greater calamity than the harm that he even faced in the first place. So that's the rough translation. I'll recap it. So what Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, this is now me giving a little breakdown in my words, Abu Dris's words. Basically, Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, regarding the seventh point, that you should know that if you're purely focused on taking revenge, this is gonna absorb and take a lot of time. It's gonna take a lot of your time. And because you're constantly focused on this revenge, it's taking your time, your heart is also caused to be torn and it's all over the place. Because you're not satisfied until you get that revenge. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is trying to say, look at the state you have become. Look at the time that you are wasting. And then he says, the time that you are wasting and the state your heart is in, that is even a greater calamity. It's even worse than the actual harm that has come to you. And that indeed is some deep words. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, فَإِذَا أَفَى وَصَفَهَا فَرَغَ قَلْبُهُ وَجِسْمُهُ لِمَصَالِحِهِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ أَهَمْ عِنْدُهُ مِنَ الْإِلْتِقَامِ. He says, but if he pardons and he forgives, then his heart and body becomes free. If he pardons and forgives, his heart and his whole body, his limbs, becomes free to do that which will benefit him, to do that which is better for him. So once he pardons and he forgives, khalas, he is now diverted his attention away from that. So his mind, his body, his heart is free to focus on that which really will benefit him. And these things, meaning working righteous actions and doing things that will benefit him, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, is more important than taking revenge. So that is what Shaykh al-Islam has mentioned. So that Shaykh Abdul Razak, who each point adds a few points, listen to what he said. He says, I said, if a person busies himself with revenge, he will begin by plotting and planning and doing the actions of revenge. And this in reality will make him waste and lose a lot of his life, the time of his life. And he would have lost a portion of his life that he could have used to utilize good. And he says that due to him being preoccupied, then he has lost that which will benefit him in this life and in the hereafter. That is the extra what he said. So due to the fact that he's preoccupied in this whole planning of revenge, takes him away from that which will benefit him in this life, meaning seeking halal earnings, worldly life, doing, and even things of the deen, his worship and his ibadah, because it takes him away from that. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says that it is imperative, meaning it is important, that a person allows his soul to rest. He allows his soul to rest in order than him just striving to take revenge. Forgive and pardon. And then he went and said something very beautiful. He said, فَصَبْرُ عَلَى الْأَذَى الْخَلْقِ بَابٌ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْحِفْظِ الْوَقْتِ وَعَدَمِ إِضَاعَتِهِ. Beautiful statement. This should be written down. Shaykh Abdul Razak said, being patient upon the harm of the people is a form of preserving time and not wasting it. Look at that. So when you forgive and pardon, that in actuality is a form of preserving your time and not wasting your time. So pardoning and forgiving actually will preserve your time. So that was number 7. Now we move on to number 8. The number 8 is that him taking revenge and wanting to help his own soul, then he should reflect. فَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مَا إِنْتَقَمَ لِلْنَفْسِهِ قَطْ. The messenger never took revenge for something related to himself. So the one that wants to take revenge, let him reflect that our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never took revenge something related to himself. Okay? And then listen to what Shaykh al-Islam goes on to mention. فَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا خَيْرَ الْخَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And if the messenger of Allah was the best of the creation, the most noble of creation, طيب, and yet he did not take revenge, bearing in mind that the majority of the troubles and harm that reached the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Tayhiyah mentions, was due to him calling to the path of Allah. The majority of the harm that reached Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was because him calling to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, was due to him calling to the way of Allah. So what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is trying to emphasize, that look, he was the best of us, the most noble, the most just, the purest soul, and yet the harm that he faced was because he was calling to Allah. Yet still with all of this, you found the messenger did not ever take revenge with something which was related to himself. So Sheikh Abdul Razak, then he says, this is Sheikh Abdul Razak's extra ta'liqat, he says, a person should look at the seerah of the messenger. Seerah meaning his history, his lifestyle. And from it, there comes great examples, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you have just heard, was the best of us and is a great example to follow. And then he quotes the verse which is in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 21, where Allah says about the messenger, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. Allah says in the Quran, indeed, in the Prophet Muhammad, you have a very elevated and exalted example to follow, meaning a tremendous example to follow for the one who wishes to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment and remembers Allah much. So, Sheikh Abdul Razak is saying, look how the messenger was in his lifestyle. He never took revenge. And he is an example to follow, as Allah has mentioned. And also, he brings a proof. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he brings a proof to this point. He says, the hadith, he quotes, an Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Who was Aisha? The wife of the messenger. She narrates, radiallahu ta'ala anha, qalat, ما انتقم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لنفسه في شيء يؤتى إليه حتى ينتحق من حرمات الله فينتقم لله. She narrates his wife saying that the messenger of Allah never took revenge regarding something from his own soul or related to his own soul. Never. ويؤتى إليه حتى. But the only time that he ever stood up was when something from the rights of Allah was violated. Something towards the religion that was violated, then he took action. But as for something personal himself, something related to him, he would never take revenge. But only time that he ever took action was something by way of defense for the religion, something related to Allah. But as himself personally, never. And Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says that it is not reported in his seerah that he ever held someone to account or became angry upon somebody because they did something to him. And bearing in mind how many times was harm reached him. Many times. But yet, still, Him being the best of us, and He's our example, never took revenge. So this point in conclusion is, this is me saying Abu Idris, that if the messenger who is the most noble soul, the best of us, if he who had the whole right to do it never took revenge on anybody, then who are we? Are we better than him? Is the point. The next point, which is number 9. What number is he? He's saying what? 9. Okay. 9. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, إِنْ أُوذِيَ عَلَى مَا فَعَلَ لِلَّهِ وَعَلَى مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ وَنُهِيَ عَنْ مِنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّبْرُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ الْإِنْتِقَامُ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ وَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says that if an individual is harmed due to the actions that are done for Allah or following a command of obedience, meaning what Allah has commanded, or due to him staying away from a haram, meaning that something which is unlawful, meaning something related with our religion. So if a person is being harmed because he is doing something that Allah has commanded him to do, for example, he's praying or he's letting the beard grow, this is just examples from me, and then he's harmed because of that, or for example, a sister has to cover and that is a command from Allah and she's harmed because of that, then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions in these examples, then what's that? Okay. It is obligatory for him to be patient and not take revenge. Why? For indeed he was harmed due to the fact that this person was on the path of Allah, and anyone that is harmed in the path of Allah, then his reward is with Allah. That is known throughout the Quran, throughout the history of the messenger and the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in many ayat that those who strive in the path of Allah, then their reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sheikh Abdul Razak adds to this. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has more wording, but because Sheikh Abdul Razak covers a lot of that, we'll just take what Sheikh Abdul Razak mentions regarding the explanation of these points that Sheikh al-Islam just mentioned. He said, firstly, that if a person, and يكون أذى منهم له فيما يتعلق بالدين. So he's saying, in actuality, sorry, to start again, he says, أن أذى الخلق للعبد يقع على الأوجه. The harm that reaches a slave is different types. So he mentions three types. He said the first one, that the harm that reaches him is related to his religion, meaning him calling to the good or him prohibiting an evil, and he calls to the way of Allah, or he teaches the people good, and he is harmed due to him commanding the good and forbidding the evil, and he is harmed because he is calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person in this situation does not take revenge. بَلْ يَبْغِي مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, but rather he seeks what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّ هَذَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, this is what we refer to as فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he seeks his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first category. The second category of harm that can possibly come to him, in kana qad udhiya ala musibatin, that he is harmed due to a calamity that has reached him. Fayarja al-lum ala nafsi. Then if a calamity reaches him and he's harmed by a calamity, then he only blames himself and looks to himself. And what does this bring about when he does this? Not only does he turns back in forgiveness, but here Shaykh Abdul Razak brings another angle. He says, وَيَكُونَ فِي لَوْمِهِ لَهَا شُغُلْ عَنْ لَوْمِهِ لِمَنْ أَذَى. When a calamity reaches him, then he focuses on himself and looks and blames himself and tries to find the blame on himself rather than focusing and blaming somebody else. And the third one, أن يكون قد أوذي على حظ من الحظوظ الدنيا فليطن نفسه على الصبر. The third one is that he is trialed by way of fortune, something related with the dunya. For example, the businessmen, for example, when they trade, sometimes they make money, sometimes they lose money. Then for them likewise, just as they adapt and get themselves used to business, you have your ups and you have your downs, then they accept. Then he says that a Muslim min bab al-awla, meaning first and foremost a Muslim should have that kind of attitude and be patient. So if a Muslim trades and he's harmed by way of his trade, he's done something and it's not working out, and some difficulty reaches him, then likewise he remains patient. So Sheikh Abdul Razak, he said that the adha of khalq, that the harm of the upon the creation can come in three different categories, and he mentioned them. But the main point which we try to strike from point 9, that if a person is harmed due to him following command of Allah, following the way of Allah, then know your reward lies with Allah. That is the khulasa, the conclusion of point 9. We said the first one, to make it really easy, first one is related to deen. So he's following the deen and he's trialed upon that, then he remains patient because the reward is with Allah. The second one is some calamity that reaches him, some misfortune. So what he does, he focuses on looking at blaming himself, then that will keep him preoccupied rather than him trying to look and give the blame to others. And then the third one, we mentioned the example of something related with business. Number 10. Wallah, I keep saying that the other one was a tremendous point and it touched me, but every one point that we go along, subhanAllah, heavy words. This likewise, subhanAllah, heavy words. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, أَنْ يَشْهَدْ مَعِيَةَ اللَّهِ مَعُهُ إِذَا صَبَرْ وَمُحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ لَهُ إِذَا صَبَرْ. That if the one that has been afflicted, the slave, he reflects and looks, that if he remains patient, he will have the ma'iyah of Allah. What is the ma'iyah of Allah? You will have the aid of Allah. And muhabbat Allah. And you will have the love of Allah. Wa ridha'uhu. And you will have the pleasure of Allah. So now, this is moving on to a next thing. That if you practice patience, then this will bring about the aid of Allah and the love of Allah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whomsoever Allah is with, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, وَمَنْ كَانَ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ دَفَعَ عَنْهُ أَنْوَى الْأَذَى وَالْمُضَرَّاتِ مَا لَا يَدْفَعُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. That if Allah is with you, reflect upon this, if Allah is with you, then Allah is able to remove harm and repel harm and difficulties from you that no other creation or no one from the creation, shall I say, is able. And that is something that only a wise man can reflect upon, the wise person. That look, that if you turn your tawakkal, you have reliance upon Allah, you have turned to Allah, and by you exercising this patience, then the aid will come from Allah. And what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying is, Allah's aid and Allah's protection is not like anything from the creation. The way Allah can protect you, the way Allah can remove harm from you, nothing from the creation is able to do it in the same similitude. And that is something which is very, very deep. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he brings two verses as a proof of this. Firstly, the proof for the ma'iyyah, that Allah's aid is with you. The first one, Surah Al-Anfal, verse 46. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 36. Where Afwan, 46. 46. Where Allah says, وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient ones. Meaning that Allah is there with His aid and protection. Then the second verse, which is a proof that Allah loves patient people. The slaves that are patient, our Lord loves them. Surah Ali Imran, verse 146, where Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. That indeed Allah loves the patient ones. So here we have two verses, that if you're patient, number one, Allah will aid you, protect you. Number two, you're patient, Allah will love you. And inshallah, I'll mention that in a minute, remind me afterwards. Let's just work and move on to Sheikh Abdul Razak's statement. Sheikh Abdul Razak now saying this, he says, look at this. Look at this reward. You have the ma'iyyah of Allah and you have the muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the patient ones. So what does a person do? He looks and focuses on what's just been mentioned rather than looking at revenge. He just looks at, subhanAllah, the reward. Allah's with me. Allah will love me. So he just focuses his attention on that, and that takes him away from wanting to seek revenge and busying himself with revenge. This is what Sheikh Abdul Razak has mentioned. So then he becomes from amongst the creation those who Allah loves and who Allah is with. And then he narrated the verses again. But then he explained the ma'iyyah of Allah. That you know this ma'iyyah, that Allah is with you. He said, this is khas. This is a very special type, or is specific. This aid is not just any type of aid. It is an aid that protects you. It is an aid that gives you success. It is an aid that brings help. It is an aid that has goodness in it. And it is an aid that has barakah. La ilaha illallah. So let's say that again. So this ma'iyyah of Allah, that meaning that this aid and protection from Allah, it's just not any normal type of aid. But rather, Sheikh Abdul Razak said, this aid, it protects, it gives you success, It brings help. It brings goodness. And it has blessings. And in conclusion, he says, so being patient establishes and gains the ma'iyah of Allah. Being patient gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those slaves that has his ma'iyah, his protection, his strength. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those individuals that Allah loves. And yes, our Lord does love. Let me bring you another hadith, which is not a part of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's words or Abdul Razak, but it's a point to show you that Allah loves and how we should strive to be from those that Allah mentions by your name. There's a hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَبَّ اللَّهَ الْعَبْدِ, that if Allah loves a slave, then he will call Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel is the main angel that brings down the revelation. As in English they call him Gabriel. He is the same angel that brought revelation to all of the prophets. Not just Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather he brought revelation to all of the prophets, from Nuh, Ibrahim, Ismail, Isa ibn Maryam, all of them. So the messenger said that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call Jibreel and will say to Jibreel, verily I love such and such, and will mention him by name. So then Jibreel will love that person. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam will go to the inhabitants of the dwellers of paradise, or in the sama shall I say, and will say that indeed Allah has loved such and such, or loves such a person, and I love such a person. Then all of the inhabitants and the dwellers of the sama, of the paradise, will also love that person. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يأتي القبول في الأرض, then that person will have qubul on the earth. What does qubul on the earth mean? Meaning that the people's hearts will incline to that person, will have love for that person. That person will be accepted amongst the masses of the people. And haven't you ever come across a person that when you see them, you automatically have that love for them, or your heart takes a liking to that person? And you may not even know that person. You may not even know him a long time, or you may not even know her for a long time. But you'll find wherever this person or wherever this sister seems to travel and go, whenever they meet people, they have that qubul, they have that acceptance, they have that love, the people have that love in their hearts for them. And we hope that they are from those which the hadith mentions. Now just reflect upon that. That you could be sitting here and yet Allah is mentioning your name to Jibreel. And then Jibreel is mentioning the name to the inhabitants of the heavens. And then you have qubul upon the earth. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us of them. Ameen. So this is why a person should always try to be focused and righteous and sincere towards Allah. Because the success lies with Allah. Allah knows what's in your hearts. That's where the real success lies, being an obedient servant. So alhamdulillah, be from those that alhamdulillah that are beloved to the people, because this is a good sign. This is a sign, alhamdulillah, that bi-idhnillah, as long as you're sincere, following the correct methodology upon the Quran and the Sunnah, by the methodology of the Salaf, and you're sincere, bi-idhnillah, you shall be from those. Ameen. The next point, which is number 11. You agree with him? 11. Okay. The next one. أن يشهد أن الصبر نصف الإيمان فلا يبذل من إيمانه جزءا في نصرة نفسه فإذا صبر فقد أحرز إيمانه وصانه من النقص. The next one is that he should know that patience is half of faith, half of Iman. Patience is half of faith. So if he knows that patience is half of faith, therefore he should not utilize a part of that, meaning a part of faith, for revenge for himself or to aid himself. Rather, if he remains patient, then he maintains his iman and safeguards it, meaning he maintains his faith and he safeguards his faith from decreasing. So that's what Sheikh al-Islam mentions again, and then I'll give you my breakdown, because what's been happening, someone's transcribing the notes. So what will happen is, when I'm speaking about Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, sometimes I may say things to make it simple for you to understand, and the one that's transcribing is thinking that that's from Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's words. So this is why you keep on hearing me saying, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, Sheikh Abdul Razak is now saying, Abu Idris is now saying. So it makes it easier for the one that is transcribing. So we'll say what Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said. He said, patience is one half of Iman, meaning half of Iman, half of faith. So therefore, he should not utilize that part of faith to seek revenge. Rather, if he remains patient, he maintains his Iman and safeguards it from decreasing. So now, I'll explain that a little bit. If Iman is in two parts, if it's been explained, that faith, right, is in two parts. Half of it is patience, meaning being patient upon the trials and the difficulties. Now, if some problem comes along and you're harmed and you don't utilize half of faith, and then you merely take revenge, that means you have lost that part of faith, because you didn't utilize the patience, which coincides or consists of half of faith. So Sheikh Abdul Razak now explains that in more detail. He said, Al-Sabru Nisfal Iman. He said, patience is half of faith. And Al-Iman Nisfan. Iman is in two categories, patience and shukr, thankfulness. So this is what faith consists of, two things, patience and thankfulness. And that is derived, that principle there of faith being in two categories is derived and taken from the following hadith, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, عَجِبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرُهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ فَإِنْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that is a hadith, is in Sahih Muslim, and it's a hadith that we've already covered in the Muqaddimah, in the introduction. And a rough translation of that is, amazing is the affair of the believer. Indeed, all of the affair is good, and that is not for no one except a believer. If good befalls him, then he is grateful, meaning thankful. And this is good for him. And if harm befalls him, he is patient, and that is good for him. So from that hadith, the scholars have derived that faith is in two categories. Also, the same principle is also another proof which is taken from the Quran, is the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ أو صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ, that Allah says, truly, therein are evidences, signs for every patient and thankful person. And this verse, Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says, is mentioned 4 times in the Quran. So the verse is that truly therein are evidences and signs for every patient. Allah mentioned every patient one and every thankful person. So Allah mentions the 2 categories, right? Or the 2 characteristics of being patient and thankful. Sheikh Abdul Razak said that this is mentioned 4 times in the Quran. So alhamdulillah, I went back to the Quran and I had a look and found out where these 4 places were. Sheikh Abdul Razak didn't mention it, but just for extra information, it is mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, verse 5. And it is mentioned in Surah Al-Luqman, verse 31. And it is mentioned in Surah Al-Saba, verse 19. And Surah Al-Shura, verse 33. So Sheikh Abdul Razak says then, to conclude, to finish this point, he says, so the one that receives harm, he says, I will not take revenge, rather I will remain patient, so I may preserve this great lofty station of religion, which is patience. He doesn't want to mess with it. He wants to preserve it, because he knows that patience is half of the of religion in one narration and half of faith. So he says he ain't gonna jeopardize that. Right? That last bit is me adding it on extra. So and then Sheikh Abdul Razak then also goes on to say, so he says, I will not sacrifice this iman, this faith, not even a small portion of it, because he doesn't want to jeopardize, a portion of this station, which is half of iman. He doesn't want it to decrease. We move on to the next one. Is it all clear so far? Yep. Well, if there's any questions, you can ask afterwards, inshallah. Taib. Thani Ashar. Number 12. أن يشهد أن صبره حكم منه على نفسه وكحر لها وغلبة لها. So he says that he witnesses, that one witnesses and sees, that is that one should witness, afwan, I say it again, that one should witness that patience, that him showing patience is a judgment from himself over his soul. So this one now, when you have patience, or let me just mention Afwan, before I bring my explanation in to make it easier, let me just say what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said and translate that. So once again, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, is that one should witness that the patience he is showing is a judgment from himself over his soul. And him dominating his soul and overpowering it. And when the soul is dominated and conquered and subdued, then it is not able to enslave him. The soul cannot enslave him. And it will not be able to lead him into the destruction. Meaning the soul will not be able to lead him into destruction, because he's not following the soul. So then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention, but if he listens to his soul and obeys it, if he listens to his soul and obeys it, and allows his own soul to subdue him, he will be destroyed. So patience, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, so patience allows him to control his soul, conquer the soul, so the authority and the sultan returns back to him and his heart. So because he is the one that is conquering the soul, then the authority returns back to his heart. And then the soldiers are firm. The soldiers here referring to the limbs, because if the heart is the governing body, the rest follow. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that if the heart is firm, then the soldiers will be firm. They will follow him and they will be strong and they will repel the enemy. So that is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned. To break that down a little bit, Abu Idris will say now, just to elaborate upon that, to make it simple, that this soul of ours, it always leans to a certain way. It leans to following desires. It leans to want to take revenge. It's not, you know, that is how the soul is. Like, the soul never wants to be harmed, or the soul never wants to be overpowered by another person. And that's just our fate. Like, if someone wrongs me or you, our natural reaction is to do something back. That's just the way mankind is. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying that when you observe patience, you recognize, you are showing that you're in control, not the soul. You're the one that overpowers and subdues your soul. You're in control. Because if you follow your soul wants you to take revenge. And you will follow until it destroys you. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, but when you conquer the soul, when you are the upper hand over your soul, you're no longer following your soul and his desires. Rather, it's following you. So then it returns back and your heart becomes solid. And there's a hadith that mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that there is a morsel of flesh in the body, that if it's sound, then all of the body will be sound. And if it's corrupted, then all of the body will be corrupted. And he said that indeed it is the heart. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, based upon that hadith, is saying that look, if the heart is solid and sound, then the rest will follow. The limbs will follow, meaning its soldiers will follow. The heart is the king and the limbs are the soldiers, and they will follow in suit. So he was saying that this is the benefit of sabr and patience, that you are the one that is conquering over the soul. So Shaykh Abdul Razak now says, إِنَّكَ إِن صَبَرْتَ عَلَىٰ أَذَىٰ كَانَ صَبْرُكَ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ إِنْتِصَارًا مِنْكَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ. He said, if you are patient from the harms of the people, then you are aiding your own soul. You are aiding your own soul, and then you will become the authority and the power. Opposite from the muttaqim, opposite from the one that is taking revenge. For indeed, he's driven behind his soul, and his soul only requests for him to take revenge. So alhamdulillah, you see, each sheikh has a nice way of putting it to make us understand the point a bit easier. Because remember, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was a scholar of deep knowledge, not just in one faculty of knowledge. The scholars of his time explained him to be a scholar that was heavily grounded in every single field of knowledge. So if he spoke about the Arabic language, they would say that that's his speciality. If he spoke about Aqidah, the affairs of creed or Tawheed, they would say that's his speciality. If he spoke about fiqh, they would jurisprudence and the, and its rulings, they would say he was a specialist in that. That's how deep he was in his knowledge. So sometimes his language is so rich, the Arabic language is so intricate and rich, it's even hard to translate sometimes. So alhamdulillah, when Sheikh Abdul Razak comes, he comes with a very simple form of breaking it down. So he summarized it to saying that if you're patient, you're actually aiding your own soul. And then you are the one that is the governing authority over your soul. Opposite from the one that has just got vexed, no patience, and is off taking revenge. He's merely behind his desire of his soul, commanding him. So he's a slave, he's enslaved to the command of his soul. But when you enforce patience, it's the other way around. And wallahi, I cannot express how much joy and how much I've benefited from this book. Don't think that, you know, Abu Idris is here, and yes, I've studied in Saudi Arabia and I've sat with scholars, that I don't benefit and I don't learn. Wallahi, I'm learning as I'm teaching. And how beneficial this book is. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to be able to comprehend these principles and then act upon them and have them in our lives. Ameen. The next point, which is number what? Huh? Akram, what number have you got?
Number 13.
Number 13, ahsant, mashallah. Okay, point 13. أَيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِنْ صَبَرَ فَاللَّهُ نَاصِرُهُ وَلَبُدْ. The next point is that to know that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, to know when a person has patience, then his aid from Allah is guaranteed. Number 13, when he exercises and has patience, then his aid from Allah is guaranteed. For wallahu waqil man sabar. For indeed, Allah is the waqil, or the protector of those who are patient. So what is this man doing? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, ahala zalimuhu ala Allah. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that he leaves his oppressor to Allah to deal with him. So the one that is oppressing him, he leaves it to Allah. So Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says he leaves his oppressor to Allah. On the other hand, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَمَنْ إِنْتَصَرَ لِنَفْسِهِ. But when you seek revenge yourself, then you're alone. And you don't have the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you take it in your own matters in your own hands, you're alone. You don't have the aid of Allah because you didn't entrust it to Allah. You wanted to deal with it yourself. That last bit is an extra from me. So, فَأَيْنَ مَنْ نَصَرُهُ اللَّهِ خَيْرَ النَّاصِرِينَ إِلَى مَنْ نَاصِرُهُ نَفْسَهُ أَعَجَزَ النَّاصِرِينَ وَأَضْعَفَهُ. So Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, so what is better? That Allah aids and he is the best of aiders. There's no better aid than Allah. Or the one that aids himself and he is from the least able and from the weakest of aiders. So Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah is almost putting that question forth. That okay, you've taken matters into your own hands. The one who is the best of aiders, the capable of all things, Allah al-Jabbar al-Qawi al-Mateen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to leave him and his aid, and then you want to deal with matters yourself, and you are the least able and the weakest. And just as a side note now, a thing which I've just remembered, Abu Idris will mention, that over our years, wallahi, what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has said, we have witnessed this with our own eyes. How many times have we seen individuals harming others, tyrants, people of authority, people of great position, but
they're tyrants and they're oppressing people. And then the aid of Allah reaches. And that the way Allah deals with them is in a way that they can never stand again. Or sometimes they're just totally wiped off the face of the earth and destroyed. Whereas if it was one person trying to take revenge, you would never have that ability. So sometimes you have to have that yaqeen and certainty to remember. And just look throughout the Quran. This principle is mentioned in the Quran. How many stories do we have of the prophets? What about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Moses was pursued. His people, the Yahud, were tortured, were killed by Fir'aun and his people. Fir'aun, or as you would say in English, Pharaoh. They harmed and persecuted. They would kill the firstborn. So much trials that they had. And finally, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was trying to flee from him, and at the back of him, he had the enemy, or facing the enemy, shall I say, and at the back of him, he had the Red Sea. They had nowhere to turn except for him to raise his hands and make dua. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the miracle, caused the Red Sea to split open and save the people of Moses. And then look at what took place afterwards. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commanded the seas to engulf them and drown all of Fir'aun's army and himself. Look at the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He called his people to the truth of La ilaha illallah for 950 years, calling them, and they harmed him. They harmed him to the degree that he then turned to Allah and said, Inni maghlubun, O Allah, I'm overpowered. Meaning their oppression, their harm was so severe, he had nothing that he could do. And then he raised his hands and turned to Allah and said, O Allah, they've overpowered me. Fantasir, aid me, Allah. And look what Allah did when Allah's aid came. He caused the heavens to open and rain down. He caused the ground, the springs and the waters from underneath to gush forth. And it rained and water came forth. And he wiped everybody on the face of the earth that were oppressors and tyrants and disbelievers, and save the believers. So when Allah's aid comes, it's not like the aid of any human being or any creation. So this is why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he's saying, what is better? That you turn to the one whose aid is limited. You cannot put a limit to his aid. You cannot put a limit to his ability. He's capable of all things. You're going to abandon that and then merely rely upon your own self, that you're just a weak self. And then Sheikh Abdul Razak also says, and he brought an example. He said, a slave leaves the affair to Allah, seeking Allah's aid and seeking the right that he has, that the wrong has been done, the right of his justice. He seeks it with Allah, remains patient, waiting for the outcome of his patience that is guaranteed with aid and success. So Sheikh Abdul Razak then brings a hadith which is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and Sheikh Albani rahimahullah ta'ala authenticates his hadith. He says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَأَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبَرِ. Victory comes with patience. This is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. Victory comes with patience. And alhamdulillah, we only have, alhamdulillah, we finished now 13. And hopefully tomorrow, bi-ithnillah, we can finish the book, inshallah. We'll round up on that note now, because we've been speaking for 1 hour. But once again, jazakallahu khairan for your efforts for attending. And jazakallahu khairan for making the efforts of writing the notes down and making the effort to go over your notes. For indeed, the benefit returns to you. the benefit will return to you. Because if you could understand and adapt these methodologies and focus on these principles in your life, then inshallah you would have gained much. You would gain much, and alhamdulillah, you would have removed from yourself a lot of grief and stress. Because sometimes when harm reaches us, it can really, really bring a person down. It can really make a person depressed and suffer from a lot of sadness and grief. But when you have these immense strong principles, you know, rooted in your mindset, then not only are you a very powerful person and strong person, you will also be a backbone for your families and a backbone for your communities. And at the same time, you will be receiving the tremendous rewards that we have discussed. And we pray that Allah gives us thabat upon this. May it makes us firm upon this. Ameen. Jazakallahu khairan. Adhan? Okay. Yeah. Questions? Yeah. No, he's doing adhan outside. Even if he does adhan, no problem. The questions you can still... Oh, we can... Okay, the question that the brother put forth is that if a person wishes to get a gun, mathalan, for protection in his home, and yet the wife is against this, then who is correct? Then I'll bring to you the words of our brother and our companion and our Sheikh Arafat. Because I asked him the question that you put for me yesterday. And alhamdulillah, anything which I'm not able, then our methodology, what we learn from the scholars, is فَاسْأَلُوا أَحْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. As Allah mentions in the Quran, ask the people of virtues if you do not know. And the question that you put yesterday will cover, hopefully, the answer to that will cover also your question today. And the question that the brother put forth yesterday is, that these principles that we are learning now, what is the limits to these principles? Meaning that if somebody is constantly harming us, for example, my neighbor is constantly harming me, or the crime that we see a lot in our countries here, in the West and even in Trinidad and Tobago, the harm that takes place and the crime. So what is the limit, the brother wanted to know, meaning that every single thing that happens wrong, we just keep merely saying khalas, we leave it to Allah and put these principles, or what is the answer? So I put this question forth, and the Sheikh replied by saying that regarding the neighbor, if you have a neighbor that is troublesome and harmful, then if after advising and after trying your best, if the house is not your house and it's merely renting, you should move. Then I said, but what about the other circumstances, the harm in the streets and things? He said, the Muslim, which I mentioned yesterday, the Muslim is allowed to protect himself. It doesn't mean that we just become victims. We are allowed to protect yourself. And a Muslim can protect himself. And secondly, if the harm of the crime is that widespread and is harming you, then he said you should take the Islamic legislated means to deal with it. So for example, whatever that land, the law of the land permits, like for example, you can go to the authorities, or whatever Islam permits, or what through the land, where you can stop and avoid this harm, one should do. And if the harm reaches to the part where they come onto your doorstep and they come and they physically harming you, then you have the right to defend yourself. So going back to the question regarding would it be permissible to have arms in your house, then that would refer back to, does it fall into the Islamic legislated affairs, meaning that is it permissible in the land that you reside in? Would it be permissible to have arms with a license in the land that you reside in? If it's permissible and you feel that is a necessity and the harm and the danger is reached to the level that it is something that is recommended and it is permissible by the land for you to have that, then you would be the judge of that. You would be the judge of that, meaning that whether if it was needed or not needed, but as long as it goes in lines with the law of the land. Like for example, in some countries, having arms in your home is impermissible, it's a crime. And if you are caught with it, then it is a jail sentence that you're facing. So, whereas some countries like in America, it is permissible to have arms in your home with a license. So, if it's permissible, and then you feel that the danger is to that degree where it's al-wiqaya khair min al-ilaj, that prevention is better than the cure, then you're the judge of that. As long as the Sheikh said, it goes in line with what is Islamically legislated. And Allah knows best. Oh yeah. The brother's question, from what I understand, is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Mecca, he commanded that whoever from the mushrikeen, from the disbelievers, remain in their homes, do not attack them, and those who submit, do not attack the women and the children. Yet they caused him so much harm, and yet he was in a position to enforce revenge if he wanted to. Then this shows you from his noble character of how he was and how he implemented these things. Another perfect example of that, that we do not meet an evil with an evil, with one of the points that we took, is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Ta'if. He went to Ta'if, and the ulama say this was the most saddest part of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, because he just lost his beloved wife Khadija, and then he lost his uncle, and his uncle died upon disbelief, and his uncle protected him throughout the time when he was spreading Islam, but he did not embrace. So the ulama say that is within 2 months that he lost two precious people, and he went to an area, Ta'if, which is about 70 kilometers away from Mecca, to go and call the people to the Tawheed, trying to gain strength. So when he went there, they mocked him and they repelled him out of the city or the village, and they threw stones at him. And when he came out, he sat down and then he saw an angel. And the angel said to him that we will send you the angels of the mountains. All you need to do is give the command, and the angels will cause the mountains to cover them and destroy the whole village for the wrong which they have done to you. All you need to do is give the command. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, leave them. And in one narration he mentions, فَإِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ, indeed they are a people that do not know, forgive them. And maybe in a narration it mentions, maybe from their lineage, from their offspring, will come people that will bear witness to Allah and bear witness that I am the Messenger of Allah, meaning that there will be Muslims. And that's exactly what happened. But if the Messenger wanted to, there was no one around. Number one, he had the whole right. If he commanded those angels to destroy them, then he was not wrong, because Allah gave him that choice. So you have to bear that in mind. If Allah told that angel to destroy and wipe out that village, then he wouldn't have been wrong, because Allah granted him that. And Allah doesn't grant something which is incorrect and unjust. But still, even him having the authority, having the power, he still held back because he was such a tremendous character and he didn't meet evil with an evil. Yet, had that been one of us, just imagine if an angel came to us and said that, just give me the command and I will take fulan and I will destroy such and such. And we are alone. We are alone and nobody knows, just me and the angel, or you and the angel. And you was in that situation. There will be a lot of people that will be taken out. Wouldn't you agree? There will be a whole heap of mans that will be getting mashed up if we were like that, because we're weak. But it just goes to show you how the messenger was. So alhamdulillah, we pray that Allah blesses us to try to learn from these examples and follow that exemplary and that exalted example of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقولي قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. جزاك الله خيرا.